Amen. If you win your Bibles this morning, turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. It's good to have so many visitors with us this morning, and one especially that is his birthday. I'm just kidding. It's Josiah's birthday. That's hilarious. I don't know how they... That video is amazing. If you ain't got to see the youth camp video, it's good. You need to go see it. It's on the website. I encourage you to do so. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And this morning, a familiar passage to most of us here. If you've been Christians very long, you know the passage of Jesus and His discussion, His talk with Nicodemus. And let's look there at verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto Him, Rabbi, we know that Thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that Thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus saith unto Him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak what that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that cometh down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Let's pray. We do thank You today, Lord, for just the opportunity to meet in Your house. We thank You for the Word of God that we have before us that enables us to approach You and know what You're thinking and to know the Gospel and have the opportunity of heaven being our home. We thank You for Your Son, Jesus, who died and was buried and rose again that we might have everlasting life. We thank You for the new birth. I pray this morning that the Gospel will be made very, very plain and very, very simple in the hearers this morning. We ask this in Your name. Amen. Jesus said unto Nicodemus, Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. New birth is a must. Every person born in the world must have the new birth in order to inherit the kingdom of God, in order to have a home in heaven. That's what the Bible makes it very clear. Jesus said. We know at the close of the previous chapter that Jesus had been preaching and teaching, and it says, and performing miracles, it says there, verse 23, Now when He was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in His name when they saw the miracles which He did. But Jesus did not commit Himself unto them, because He knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for He knew what was in man. So many came, many heard Him speak, many saw the miracles He did, and believed on Him, not because of who He was necessarily, but because of the miracles He performed.
And therefore, he did not commit himself to them. He did not reveal himself to that crowd to allow them to know who he was. But here he is one of those that was in that crowd. One of the members of that crowd came to Jesus individually. And that man was Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. And there were basically two sects in that day, and there was more than that, but two major sects, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Pharisees, if you would, were the conservative crowd who absolutely kept the law. They believed in the resurrection and so forth. And the Sadducees were the liberal crowd. Anyway, they did not believe in the resurrection. That's why they were sad, you see. I learned that when I was a little kid. And I'll never forget what a great way to distinguish between the Pharisees and the Sadducees is they were sad, you see, because they didn't believe in the resurrection. And so these two sects, these two religious crowds, and Nicodemus was a Pharisee, but not only was a Pharisee, but he was a leader of the Pharisees. He was a religious leader. He was a leader amongst them. A ruler, if you would, of the Jews, all right? By the way, the name Nicodemus means conqueror of people. I guess his parents were pretty proud when he was born. They knew the names, they knew the meanings of their names. Conqueror of people. And no doubt, we know from the scriptures that he was a ruler of the Jews, that he was in a leadership, that he was a part of that upper echelon of people. And so, he came to Jesus, and Jesus said to him, this ruler of the Jews, you must be born again. And Nicodemus, much like so many other people, began to ask the questions and began to say, you know, Nicodemus thought he was good enough. There's no doubt that he thought he was religious enough, devout enough, that he prayed enough, that he gave enough. He, no doubt, because he was a Pharisee and he kept the law, that he was okay in God's eyes. That he was right before God. That because he was of the religious crowd and because he was born a Jew, and we'll discuss that more in just a moment, he thought and he believed that he was a part and on his way to the kingdom of God. But Jesus was telling him that salvation and that being saved is not by religion. And understand that the definition of religion is it means a set of rules. We're not saved by doing anything. We're not saved by keeping any set of rules. We're saved by putting our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, His life, His death, and His resurrection. Period. And so here's this religious leader that comes to Jesus, no doubt a part of this crowd that had just heard him speak and just watched him perform the miracles, because Nicodemus says to him, you must be of God. Because of the miracles you perform, you must be of God. He calls him rabbi, he calls him teacher. I mean, he recognizes somewhat who Jesus is, but not as the Messiah. And so, salvation is made very clear here. That the new birth is required in order to inherit the kingdom of God. That at the new birth we receive the very nature of God. We're partakers, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, we're partakers of the divine nature. And I'm so glad when I got saved, I received a new nature. When I accepted Christ my Savior, I received a new want to at the new birth. The Bible says that Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, no doubt in the cover of darkness. But, you know, he was a little reserved, but he also was, unlike the rest of that crowd, you know, earnestly desiring truth. I believe that. I think Nicodemus came to Jesus earnestly desiring truth, earnestly desiring what and who Jesus was. A little cautious because of his position, but I don't believe Nicodemus was a coward. Nobody else came to him. There was no doubt other Pharisees and Sadducees there. But Nicodemus came to him. He did refer to Jesus as a rabbi, which means teacher. He knew Jesus as a teacher, but he didn't just need to see Jesus as a teacher. He needed to see Jesus as the Son of God. He needed to see Jesus for who and what he was. Nicodemus is told by the Lord in verse 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This no doubt was confusing to Nicodemus. Again, because he was a Jew, and because he was of the tribe of whomever, because he was of the lineage of Abraham, his thoughts and his beliefs and the Pharisees and Sadducees believed because of that, that they were part of the kingdom of heaven anyway. Just because of their heritage, because of who they were. And Jesus is turning that on top of his head, saying, no, that is not the case. That no one enters the kingdom of heaven unless they're born again. Unless they're born again. So Nicodemus goes on to say, what in the world are you saying? What do you mean, being born again? Can I enter my mother's womb a second time and be born again? And Jesus says, no, that's not the case. It isn't by natural birth, which every man experiences, that we enter the kingdom of God, but by the supernatural birth, by the spiritual birth, being born again, not of water, but of the Spirit. And no doubt verse 7 says, Jesus said, marvel not that I said unto thee. I believe that after hearing this message that Nicodemus was astonished. Jesus said, hey, don't marvel that I've said unto you, you must be born again. The new birth, again, is a must for anyone who would enter the kingdom of heaven. You must be born. He didn't say, you kind of need to be born. No, he said, you must be born again. Heaven is found by way of Jesus Christ and the new birth. Look there with me again in verse 4. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. There is a group that believes that that little verse there is talking about baptism, and it absolutely is not talking about baptism. It is talking about the natural birth. All of us in this room have been born of water. Amen? We've been born of this earth, earthy. I mean, born into the world. I'm glad that I was born in the world March 4th, 1974. Remember my birthday, right, Josiah? At least I know when my birthday is. Josiah is totally confused. Born of water. He said, but the new birth, you're born of the Spirit. And you've heard the cliche, everyone needs two births. Everybody needs two birthdays. I've got one birthday, and I have the second birthday. My first birthday is, again, March 4th. My second birthday is actually March 12th. And I was saved at the age of 6 years old on March 12th, 1980. My second birthday. And I don't know that everyone... The only reason why I know that is because my mom wrote it down. And I'm glad, but I do remember going into my pastor's office, kneeling down there at his couch in his office, and accepting the Lord as my Savior. Repenting of my sins, and accepting Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And I'm glad today I've never gotten over it. Amen? I've never gotten over it, but I've never forgot that day. In fact, I've recounted it to our congregation many times. What even happened that morning? I can remember everything that happened leading up to the time in which I entered my pastor's office and accepted Christ as my Savior. It was a wonderful day. The day that I was born again. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And the question I have for you this morning, are you born again? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? He said to this religious leader, he said to this man who had kept the law and had memorized the first 5 books of the Bible. I mean, this man was, biblically, had it going on. And in fact, he says to him later, he says, you know the Bible and yet you don't understand what's going on? You know the Scriptures, and yet you don't understand what I'm saying? He basically says to him, you've missed it! And all the other Jews have missed it. Because you refuse to see Jesus Christ for who He is. The Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah that was promised to Abraham, the father of the Jews, has promised to Isaac, his son, promised to Jacob, promised to David. Jesus was the Messiah. And they missed it. He said, here you are, a religious leader, and you don't even understand. I'm glad a six-year-old can understand. I tell our parents, we have parents come a lot and ask questions of myself and others of, you know, well, how do you know? When do you believe the time will come? How do you know when the time is right? What do you know? You know, how much do they need to, listen, you don't have to be a theologian to get saved. There are some things you should know. You should be able to know, understand who Jesus is, understand what sin is, but you don't have to understand what propitiation means. You don't even have to understand what righteousness necessarily means, the word I mean. You need to understand the concept. But some of those big long words, you don't have to understand those big long words. You need to understand the concepts behind them. You don't have to be a theologian to get saved. It's so simple. Our world has made it so complex. It really has. And most religious sects today have made it very complex that you've got to go through this catechism or through this class, or you've got to accomplish this goal, or you've got to do this or that. You've got to be a part of their church. I'm glad it's not just Baptists are going to be in heaven. You know, then we all would be oversized in weight because we had too many fellowships up there. I don't know. But it's not just going to be Baptists in heaven. Listen, we're going to get up there. We're going to be surprised how many people are there of other denominations. As long as they have put their faith and trust in Christ. As long as they put their faith in the Lord Jesus and not their church. Right? And not their priests. And not their works. And not their baptism. And not their good deeds. But put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, His life, His death, and His resurrection, kingdom of heaven. Amen? Amen? On their way to the kingdom of heaven. It's not about being a Baptist. It's not about being Methodist or Presbyterian. I'm glad that it's level at the foot of the cross. That God is no respecter of persons. Nicodemus, you must be born again. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. Really, Nicodemus? You're astonished at that? He explains, or he tries to explain to Nicodemus what it is of the new birth. He's already given him one explanation by way of the illustration of the new birth. What a great illustration. What a good way to understand and know. But in verse 8 he says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell when it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. You know, me and my boys do some fishing, and we get out on those lakes sometimes. And honestly, you get out there, and the water's calm, and it's great, and it's wonderful. But about 10 or 11 o'clock, that wind picks up a little bit. And those waves begin to get a little bigger, especially on Lake Texoma, that huge lake up there. And there's times that lake will get, you know, those waves will get 2 foot high. Or 3 foot high on Texoma, sometimes bigger than that. Some of y'all have been on it. It's an ocean. I mean, it's huge. Almost 100,000 acres. There's evidence the wind's blowing. There's evidence. You can see the evidence. You can see the trees. Man, that rain yesterday, thank the Lord for the rain. Amen. That was so wonderful. And, boy, you can see those trees bending over. You can see the evidence. And I'm telling you, you can see evidence of the new birth. You can see it. I don't only believe you can see it. I understand. I feel you can experience it. The Bible says His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Let me say that even clearer. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. That when you accept Christ as your Savior and the Holy Spirit comes and indwells you, that you will not only have evidence of it, outwardly speaking, as far as actions and so forth, but inwardly, you will know the Holy Spirit abides in you. Maybe some in this room who've never experienced the new birth, and you don't have evidence of the new birth, and you don't know that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Maybe some this morning who are questioning their salvation, and maybe this morning that God, your spirit has never bear witness with His Spirit. You've never experienced that. I'm telling you, if you've been saved very long, you should have experienced the Spirit bearing witness with your spirit. I can look back in my life, and it happens all the time. I know I'm saved. Not just because the Word of God says if I believe and trust in Christ as my Savior, that He will save me, and I put my faith and trust in Him, no matter what my experience is. Right? not based upon experience, but I have experienced it as well. He lives. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, no matter what they say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You asked me how I know He lives. How do I know it? He lives within my heart. I know it because I've also experienced it. The wind blows where it listeth. You can tell. You can see the evidences of it. You may not see the wind, but you see the evidence. I don't see the Holy Spirit, but I certainly, absolutely, without a doubt, emphatically see the evidence of Him in my own life, and I've seen it in the evidence of others in this room and my own family. What a great, great experience. What a great joy there is in knowing that you're saved. Know it. Not just hope so, but know so. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? I've already covered this. Verily, verily, I said unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. You don't understand the message that we're preaching, that we're teaching. You don't get it, and you're a master of Israel. You know the Scriptures and you're missing it. If I've told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? How can I go any further with you if you can't get past this first one? If you can't get past this first truth, how can I go any further with you? And no man that has ascended into heaven, up to heaven, but he that cometh down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. That's Jesus Christ. And then he further illustrates it for him. Verse 14, and we used this here just a few weeks ago. And as Moses, look at verse 14 now. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. How can you be born again? Jesus said, you've got to look. Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. I have a message unto you. Hallelujah. It is only that you look and live. Look and live. Numbers chapter 21. We won't turn there. We didn't turn there the other day as well. But here's the children of Israel in the book of Numbers, chapter 21. Wandering in the wilderness, following the cloud by day and the fire by night. And in that chapter, they had just asked the Lord. They had gotten in a battle with the Canaanites, and the Canaanites had taken some of the Israelites captive. And they went to the Lord and said, Lord, we beg you. They pleaded with the Lord, and if you'll give us victory over our enemy, the Canaanites and so forth, we will do this and that. And sure enough, God gave them victory. They defeated them. But then they began to go on their journey. And the Bible says they were discouraged from their journey. And they began to what? Murmur and complain again. Moses, why did you bring us out into this wilderness to die? Why have you left us out here? And then they began to even complain about the manna. In that chapter, chapter 21, we just don't like this light bread anymore. We're tired of this light bread. We're tired of this bread that comes down from heaven. It just lands on the ground. And you pick it up and it tastes like a Golden Corral biscuit with honey butter on it. That's what it tastes like. Brother Forte, I mean, it's amazing. Amazing. And they literally do tell us this, what it tastes not like. But it was like a little bread, a little small bread round like this. It tastes like it had honey and butter on it. It was amazing. Angel food. The Bible calls it over in the book of Psalms. Angels. They ate angel food. And then they began to complain about it. You know what? God just got ticked. He did. He just got ticked at them. And He sent fiery serpents among them. And the serpents began to bite them and so forth. And they began to die. And they began to die. And they began to die. And they finally wised up and went to Moses and said, Moses, please, we have sinned. And they did, at least they recognized their sin. They said, we have sinned against God. We have done wrong. Lord, Moses, go to God and tell Him. Go to God on our behalf and save us. And Moses went to God and God said, make a brazen serpent, put it on a pole and lift it up. And if they will look at the serpent, the brazen serpent, they will live. When they're bit, after they've been bitten, if they'll look to the serpent, if they'll look to the brass serpent, they will live. Moses made the brass serpent, put it up on a pole and lifted it up. And absolutely, when they looked to it, they were healed. They were saved from death. And He said, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Jesus Christ was lifted up on that cross, not because of crimes He had done, but that we as sinners, we as selfish human beings, could look to Him, to His death, His burial, His resurrection, and live. And what a clear, simple message to Nicodemus. And we don't know whether he got saved or not. Maybe he did. But probably not, as he left there. But I'm telling you this morning, that is plain and simple. You must look to Jesus. Verse 15, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the next two verses speak of not being condemned. I'm glad that in Jesus Christ, I am no longer under condemnation because of sin in my life. We simply come to Him. Look to Jesus. Look to Calvary by faith. Look to the finished work of Christ. Not to your own works. Not to your own deeds. But to Jesus. His works. His life. His death. And His resurrection. We'll end the sermon this way. Just want to encourage you this morning. The miracle of the... What a miracle it is. Supernatural. That the Holy Spirit now abides in us. And because of the new birth, we are now a new creation, new creatures. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'm glad in the Savior, believing and trusting in Him, that I have passed from death unto life. I have passed from darkness to light. There is the Holy Spirit living in me, and I have a different want to. I am a new creature. The things I used to do, I don't want to do them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. Not only am I a new creation, but I have a new relationship. John chapter 1 says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. So that those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they become the sons of God. We enter into a new relationship. We pass, and the Bible makes this very clear, we pass from being a child of the devil and then that family to being a part of the family of God. What a relationship it is, being a part of the family of God. Not only do I have a new, not only my new creation, not only have a new relationship, but I have a new location. I'm already over on the other side, waiting for my brand new body. Sitting up there in the heavenly fair at the right hand of the Father. My citizenship's in heaven, I'm living in Christ, you see. For I'm already over on the other side, waiting for my body to be. I'm already a citizen of heaven. I'm already a part of the kingdom of God. I'm so glad the Holy Spirit lives inside of me and has given me a want to do what's right and to live right and to follow in Christ's steps. And I've been now I'm a part of the family of God, but I'm also part of the kingdom. I'm a part of that heavenly kingdom. Someday when this tabernacle, someday when this body gives it up, today or tomorrow, or 40 years from now, whenever it may happen, a moment, twinkling of an eye, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. I'm looking forward to that day. In heaven. A new location. And lastly, a new temple. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, and ye are not your own. For you've been bought with a price. What is that? What's the rest of that verse say? Therefore, because your temple is not yours, because this body and because this life is not mine, it's been bought with a price. It's been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, glorify your Father which is in heaven. How? By in your body. I'm to glorify God in this body. I'm to glorify God with my body. I'm to glorify God with my life. I'm to please Him. I'm to follow in Christ's steps and to do what Christ has asked me to do. I'm to love one another. I'm to encourage one another. I'm to on and on and on. I'm to follow in Christ's steps. My temple is not mine anymore. This body is not mine. I should take care of it better. It's not mine. Amen. I should live for Christ in a greater way than I do now. I should do more for Him. This body is not mine. This temple is not mine. It's the Lord's. And I should glorify Him with my temple. Christian, this morning, are you glorifying God with your temple? You have passed from death unto life. You've been born again. You're now part of the family of God. Your citizenship's already in heaven. I mean, when they call out the roll in heaven, they already say your name. Now, we should glorify God in our bodies. The new birth comes with great and wonderful benefits. And I'm so glad that I'm a part of the family of God. I want to glorify God in my temple. I don't always do it as effectively as I should, but I want to. And that's that new nature that abides within me. This morning, do you know that you're saved? Have you been born again? If not, we'd love to show you from the Bible how you can. We're going to have a song, a verse of invitation here in just a second. You can come down to the altar, and one of our workers up here will show you from the Bible how you can have eternal life. Know ye not. He said, marvel not that I said that you must be born again. Christian, this morning, what a great miracle took place in your life when you accepted Christ as your Savior. Let's glorify God in our bodies. Amen. Let's all stand. You must be born again. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Boy, didn't He make it simple and clear to Nicodemus? You know, the illustration, the new birth, the wind, the illustration of the wind, the illustration of the brazen serpent. I mean, just made it so clear and so simple and so plain to Nicodemus. I believe we've made it simple this morning. You do not have to be a theologian to get saved. You must simply repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Christian, this morning, are you glorifying God in your bodies? Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for the new birth. We thank You for the miracle that took place in our lives when we accepted You as Savior. We thank You for the benefits of that new birth. Lord, help us to live out our lives to glorify You. Lord, we thank You for what You're going to do. In Jesus' name.